Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
Tonight, the new CDC warning younger Americans, fueling the rise in COVID across the nation as air travel breaks pandemic records over the holiday weekend. The debate tonight among health officials, are we already in a fourth wave? The CDC director saying most new cases are among younger adults and a growing number of clusters linked to youth sports. Why are cases climbing among kids? Plus the double mutant variant found in the U.S., what we've learned about that. The Minneapolis police chief who Derek Chauvin testifying at his trial. The chief saying Chauvin absolutely violated department policy by kneeling on George Floyd's neck. And the ER doctor who tried to resuscitate Floyd, what he said about the cause of death. The state of emergency in Florida, the toxic reservoir in danger of failing and unleashing a 20-foot wall of water. Hundreds of homes evacuated, the race against time. The new image, the knife used by the attacker at the Capitol on Friday, the search for his motive and the new plea from the police union. The soaring price for homes, what to do if you're in the market. And our new series, The American Worker, how the pandemic has reshaped our workplaces, especially for women.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. It is starting to look like 2019 again, and a growing number of states that are rapidly shedding the restraints of the COVID pandemic. Those states haven't beaten the coronavirus, but with more and more shots in arms, there is a general sense that we're through the worst. At least that's one view. The alternate view is that we're fooling ourselves as another wave of sickness builds on the horizon. Tonight, we're sorting through mixed messages from top disease experts about whether we're about to be overwhelmed by another surge of COVID cases. The wild card? Variants of the virus, including a new double mutant strain. Tonight, in the race to stay ahead, at least 107 million Americans have received at least one dose of vaccine. Let's get the latest now from Miguel Almaguer.
Tonight, new signs of trouble are on the horizon as air travelers and COVID cases are both on the rise. Leading up to the Easter holiday, travel spiking more than 1,300% compared to last year. Many Americans ignoring CDC guidance to avoid non-essential travel after the agency just said those who are fully vaccinated can fly at lower risk.
I'm not sure of what the guidelines are specifically.
The confusion over travel comes amid mixed messaging over a fourth surge. As the U.S. surpasses 550,000 deaths, there is growing debate over if the nation has or hasn't entered another crippling wave.
We're just at the beginning of this surge.
You're not going to see a true fourth wave of infection.
COVID cases are rising in well over half the nation, variants spreading fast in parts of Massachusetts and Ohio, while a new double mutant strain is now in California. Lester asking Dr. Fauci if the U.S. could face another lockdown.
I do not think we're going to have to go there where you're going to want to lock down if we get surges. I think we can avoid those surges.
But even as the CDC advises Americans to wear two masks if possible, more states are eliminating that very mandate. Also fueling the rise in cases, the young. The CDC now says they're seeing new clusters of outbreaks among youth sports.
And just as more Americans return to the office, authorities say the chances of catching COVID through a contaminated object like a door handle is low. Still, they recommend using a hand sanitizer and washing your hands when you can.
Even as the nation averages 3 million vaccinations a day, Americans are being told to exercise caution and avoid large gatherings like this near sellout crowd the Texas Rangers will play in front of tonight. The largest American sporting event, some 40,000 people together during the pandemic. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
I want to bring in Dr. John Torres now. John, we just heard that children are spreading the new variants, in some cases more than adults. What should families know right now?
Lester, part of this reason could be that variants seem to be easier for kids to catch and spread, but it could also be that as adults are getting vaccinated, children are becoming the vulnerable group. But regardless of why, us adults need to do what we can to protect the children. And the best way to do that is for us to wear masks, socially distance, avoid large groups, and of course, get vaccinated when you can. It truly does take a village, Lester.
All right, doctor, thank you. And a good time to remind folks to make a plan so you'll be ready when it's your turn for your vaccination. Visit PlanYourVaccine.com for more. In Minneapolis, remarkable testimony today in the murder trial of Derek Chauvin, the chief of police condemning his former officer for holding George Floyd down with a knee to his neck. Gabe Gutierrez is there tonight.
Thank you, sir. He's the most high-profile witness of the trial so far, and today Minneapolis Police Chief Madera Arredondo did not mince words.
I absolutely agree that violates our policy.
Arredondo, the city's first black police chief, eviscerated Derek Chauvin, the officer he fired for kneeling on George Floyd's neck for about 9.5 minutes.
Once there was no longer any resistance, and clearly when Mr. Floyd was no longer responsive and even motionless, to continue to apply that level of force to a person proned out, handcuffed behind their back, that in no way, shape, or form is anything that is by policy, it is not part of our training, and it is certainly not part of our ethics or our values.
During that testimony, Chauvin took notes and only looked up briefly. Arredondo also revealed that he'd first gotten a call about the incident that night around 9 p.m. before Floyd had been pronounced dead. He told jurors he initially viewed this video from across the street and nothing jumped out at him. It wasn't until around midnight that a community member told him about the bystander cell phone video that soon went viral.
Thank you so much.
Arredondo had been blunt when we spoke with him last summer.
If you could look and be in the same room with Derek Chauvin, what would you say to him?
I would not be in the same room with him, and I refuse to mention his name.
Today's testimony was extremely rare.
I've been in and out of policing for over 40 years, and this is the first time in the history of my career that I've ever seen a chief that take the stand as a witness against one of his or her police officers.
Chauvin's defense team has argued that an angry crowd of bystanders distracted the officers and that Floyd died because of his drug use and underlying health conditions.
Would you agree that the use of force is not an attractive notion?
I would say that use of force is something that most officers would rather not use. Yes.
Today, the ER doctor who pronounced Floyd dead told the jury that he believed Floyd died not from drugs, but from a lack of oxygen.
Is there another name for death by oxygen deficiency?
Asphyxia.
A crucial debate in this trial that both sides will keep arguing when the county medical examiner testifies, possibly later this week.
And Gabe, the defense also asked for new body camera video to be admitted into evidence. What's that about?
Yes, Lester, the defense wants jurors to see more of Chauvin's body camera video. The judge agreed to allow some, but not all, Lester.
All right, Gabe, thank you. In just 60 seconds, state of emergency, a leaking toxic reservoir threatening hundreds of homes and jobs lost in the pandemic, the especially heavy toll on working women.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy's done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
On the west coast of Florida, a state of emergency as hundreds of millions of gallons of toxic water threaten hundreds of homes near a damaged reservoir. Sam Brock is there.
Tonight, disaster hanging over hundreds of Florida homeowners.
It's catastrophic that we're dealing with this situation that should have never, ever happened.
Crews rushing to pump wastewater from a leaky reservoir into the Gulf, concerned it could burst at any moment, unleashing 300 million gallons of contaminated water into homes and businesses.
The reservoir lets go and it puts enough force that it demolishes a home and removes it from its foundation. Scares the daylights out of me.
Today, concerns of a second breach ultimately proved to be a false alarm in a reservoir already gushing salt water mixed with nitrogen and ammonia. Officials say it is not radioactive.
More than 300 homes are in the evacuation center, 140 in this area alone. As you can tell from all the cars, residents tell me half the people in them aren't leaving.
Including Jay Caldwell.
My garage is pretty full, but all the, like, important stuff has been moved upstairs.
County officials deploying extra drones to monitor developments in real time and hoping to triple the water getting pumped out.
35 million gallons a day to 100 million gallons a day or more pulling it out.
Complicating matters, the environmental impact of dumping all that water into the already polluted Gulf.
So the elevated levels of nitrogen, the elevated levels of phosphorus that have already been released are most likely going to have algae blooms in Tampa Bay.
An area still unsure of what lurks in the hours ahead. Sam Brock, NBC News, Palmetto.
3 days after that deadly attack in the U.S. Capitol Police, a new warning about department morale, and we're also learning more about the man who drove his car into those officers. Casey Hunt has the latest.
Just days after that deadly car attack where they lost one of their own, tonight the U.S. Capitol Police still reeling. The head of the Capitol Police Union warning of a crisis in morale and that the department is, quote, struggling to meet existing mission requirements. Officers now working weekends and overtime to meet the demand for more security. Less than 3 months after a violent mob stormed the Capitol on January 6th, when 80 officers were seriously injured and one died.
They're playing hurt. And they're buckling the chin strap and they're going to work because they meet their obligation to the country and to the Capitol.
Meanwhile, investigators are still trying to determine why suspect Noah Green drove his car into a barricade and lunged at officers with a knife. Today, police releasing this image of the weapon. Police say in his Facebook posts, Green complained about losing his job and praised Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. His brother telling the Washington Post, Green's mind didn't seem right. Friday's attack killed Officer Billy Evans, an 18-year veteran of the force. A longtime friend remembers the 41-year-old as a proud father of two.
Billy was an all-around great guy. He could have gone in any number of directions in life, and he chose a life of service, and he chose to be a father.
Fellow officer Ken Shaver was also injured Friday, but was released from the hospital over the weekend, cheered on by his fellow officers. Investigators tonight also revealing Officer Evans died when he and another officer were hit by the car, and it was a third officer who shot the suspect, Green, who later died. Lester.
All right, Casey, thank you. There's new pushback tonight against Major League Baseball and companies that have criticized Georgia's more restrictive voting law. Former President Trump among those weighing in. Blaine Alexander is there.
Tonight, baseball's biggest battle is not on the field, with anger mounting against the league for moving this summer's All-Star game out of Atlanta over Georgia's controversial new voting law.
We are done with the cancel culture and this pressuring. Let's just play sports and leave the politics out of it.
It comes amid growing backlash against major companies like Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines, which criticized the law after it passed. Former President Trump urging people to, quote, boycott baseball and all the woke companies that criticize the law. Just today, Texas Governor Greg Abbott declined to throw out the Texas Rangers' first pitch. And the Atlanta Braves, whose players have already covered up the All-Star patch on their uniforms, expressing disappointment, writing, "This was neither our decision nor our recommendation." Republicans say that the law makes Georgia's elections more secure by requiring ID to apply for an absentee ballot. And they say that the law expands the early voting period longer than some blue states.
It is easier to vote in Georgia after the new law than it is in Delaware now, the president's home state.
But Democrats call it voter suppression, saying that those ID requirements, new limits on Dropbox usage, and banning anyone except a poll worker from offering water to voters in line all restrict access to the ballot, especially for Black voters.
There is no equivalence here. This is an assault against democracy itself. This includes rural voters, Black voters, Democratic voters, Republican voters.
But not all sports are getting out of town. The PGA Tour is keeping this fall's tour championship in Atlanta as planned. Lester?
All right, Blaine, thank you. Let's turn now to our series, The American Worker. It's a week of special coverage across our NBC platforms, examining how the pandemic has changed our workplaces. Tonight, Stephanie Ruhle on the crisis within the crisis, the disproportionate job losses for women.
Eleanor Fernandez was laid off when the pandemic began.
I've been working since I was 16 years old.
She says the jobs she's found don't pay enough to support her family, so the risk isn't worth it.
My health and safety is more important than just making money. I want to work. I do, but I want to be safe at the same time for my family as well.
More than 12 million women lost their jobs during the pandemic, and over 4.5 million have not returned to the workforce. Kathy Deutsch spent 17 years building her women's clothing store in New York. But COVID changed everything.
People just stopped shopping. It was just a complete, like, bottom falling out.
She tried everything to keep it afloat.
We want to assure you that we're adhering to CDC guidelines.
But business dried up, and a 64-year-old made the painful decision to close for good.
Have you ever been in a situation like this before? Have you always worked?
I have always worked. I've always liked to have autonomy and my own finances, to be an independent woman. So it's not only financially, but I think emotionally difficult not to have that.
For women, the unemployment rate is 5.7%. For Black and Hispanic women, it's higher. But the growing economy could present opportunities, especially for women.
Should we not just aim to get back to normal?
We for sure should not get back to normal. The normal was not serving us well.
Women make 82 cents to every dollar paid to white men. For Black women, it's 63 cents. For Latinas, it's 55. Advocates are pushing for more equal pay, more access to affordable child care, paid family and medical leave, and skills training geared toward women in fields like infrastructure and technology.
Some of these good jobs are jobs where women haven't been because they have been unwelcome. And we got to flip that on its head.
As the job market improves, women are hoping this time it's more of an equal playing field. Stephanie Ruhle, NBC News.
Up next for us tonight, how to get the home you want in this red-hot real estate market. All right, we're back now with the price you pay and how to navigate the most heated real estate market in years. Vicki Nguyen has what you need to know.
Finding a home sweet home is turning into a bitter pill for buyers.
We put in offers several times, and we've been either outbid or it wasn't even looked at because the number wasn't high enough.
We've actually had the highest offer multiple times, and we just haven't been accepted because we're young and we don't have a big pile of cash.
In March, the median home listing price reached an all-time high of $370,000, up 15% compared to last year, with more competition from buyers who want more rooms for working from home and for their multi-generational families.
I've been in real estate since 2001, and this is a market unlike I have ever seen.
What's the advice you're giving to buyers?
Don't wait. make sure that if you are interested in buying a house, that you're the first one to see it and that you've done every ounce of research you could possibly do.
Know the schools, the traffic patterns, the neighborhood, and when looking in a seller's market, consider the listing price to be the starting price.
Look at homes that are 5% to 10% less than where your ultimate budget is.
Factor in other costs too, monthly AC and heating bills, landscaping, and HOA fees.
Lester, think twice before waiving a home inspection and consider getting a home warranty to cover costly repairs on things like appliances and electrical systems. Lester?
All right, Vicki Nguyen with some good advice. Thank you. Up next, back on Broadway at Inspiring America. More than a year after COVID shut it down, Broadway is starting to make its comeback. Here's Joe Fryer with Inspiring America.
After a year of darkness, Broadway's ready for a flicker of light.
Oh, yes, I have been waiting for this for over a year.
The St. James Theater opened its fabled doors to a small crowd.
I feel like my heart is coming home.
Folks who had no idea what they were about to see.
One singular sensation.
Turns out it was legendary dancer Sabian Glover.
It's Hugh Jackman!
Followed by actor Nathan Lane performing a monologue.
How did that feel? What was it like out there?
Well, it was very emotional.
That was long overdue. It was beautiful.
150 fans, all of them vaccinated or tested, were scattered throughout the auditorium.
They were socially distanced and masked, which is always conducive to comedy.
But Lane could still hear their laughs. It was part of the New York Pops Up Festival, a series of pop-up performances. The St. James show was the first on a Broadway stage since the shutdown. Though it lasted just 36 minutes, every moment was savored by Broadway lover Francesca Toscano.
When the lights went down, you heard people sigh. Like, it was like a relief to finally be back.
Full-scale shows likely won't return till fall, but this proves Broadway is getting ready to shimmer again. Joe Fryer, NBC News.
Nice to see the lights flickering back on Broadway. That's nightly news for this Monday. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite, too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.